Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 251, the stanzas 1 and 2. It is good to sing thy praises and to thank thee, O Most High, showing forth thy loving kindness when the morning alights the sky. And what follows, Psalter 251, the stanzas 1 and 2. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Matthew 4, the verses 12 through 25. First, we will read the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Matthew 4, beginning with the 12th verse. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, a light is sprung up. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. We hope to remember in prayer the family of Deacon Jan Verdijn, whose brother-in-law passed away this past week in the Netherlands at the age of 62. Laura van der Hart, who was admitted to the hospital last Sunday, remains in the hospital but has been taken off the ventilator and is slowly improving. Mr. Adi van der Breinhost, who was still in the hospital, and also Mr. Harmon Lusink, who was also still in the hospital. Hopefully they hope to put in a pacemaker this week. And Reverend E.C. Adams, who needs eye surgery this week. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Eternal, unchangeable, almighty God, the creator and the upholder of the heavens and of the earth, and who showeth also in the realm of nature, that thou ruleth over all things, that the sun was given to arise, and that thou causes a warm wind to blow, and that there is none upon the earth that can stay thy hand or say unto thee, What doest thou, O Lord? Then it is so indispensable that thou granteth a deep and an abiding impression unto us and our children of thy greatness, of thy majesty, of thy righteousness, and of thy mercy. And then the prophet of old has declared in thy word, For as much as there is none like unto thee, who are so great in might, for unto thee doth it appertain, O who would not fear thee, O King of nations. But, O Lord, thou knowest how deeply that we have fallen, and then it is so necessary for the work of thy Holy Spirit that we may receive a deep impression of divine realities of whom thou art, and also who we are, and that is poor, unbelieving sinners that have ruined everything in our deep fall, and continually send everything away. Then it has pleased thee in thy great long suffering to grant unto us and our children another week of grace, and that we may come together part of the congregation on the third Lord's Day of this newly begun year, worth more than the first half of this month has quickly run its course. Oh, what all tells us that we have no continuing city. Then in this past week, in the midst of all the trials, then thou wast given many good and precious things unto us and our children, many precious things which many of our fellow travelers must miss. And what maketh us and our children to differ, and that for a sinful, for an unthankful, for a wayward people, Lord, wilt thou work lovingly and irresistibly by thy Holy Spirit in all of our hearts, and that on this Sabbath day, that thou may grant a little bewonderment, that we may still have a place upon the earth, that we may still be under the proclamation of that glorious gospel as it is in Jesus Christ. And thou art still gathering a church unto thyself, O Lord. And may it then please thee in this day to work lovingly and irresistibly in our hearts. Convert what is unconverted. Remember the young, the middle-aged, the young people, the elderly ones. We all stand of the same in need of the same thing. And in the light of that never-ending eternity, then there is not so much difference in our age, O Lord. Thou wast promised that thy word shall not return void unto thee. And to that end, may it in this morning hour not only enter our ears, but may it enter into our hearts, that we may become beggars at thy throne of grace, Lord. And may it please thee to do a great work amongst us in these solemn times, in the latter days of the earth. Thou art speaking in a special way that is evident when not the whole congregation is present. And may all the callings be sanctified. Lord, remember thy people. Thou knowest who they are. Thou knowest where they dwell. Thou knowest the riddles, the perplexities. Oh, may seeking souls, may they become finders. Wilt thou grant the further exercises? Oh, may in this day, may the light shine in the darkness, because thou hast a people upon the earth that learn that they are so ignorant, that they know nothing as they ought, but that they are so dependent upon thy instruction, O a people, for whom it becomes a wonder when thou speaketh the word, when thou granteth a little instruction, when they may be led further. Lord, remember thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth, all those that are called upon to labor in thy vineyard. Remember our many needs, a brother deacon with his family, with his wife and family have received the tidings that a beloved brother-in-law has went away of all flesh. Wilt thou remember the family amongst us? Wilt thou remember her? Oh, has now become a widow with her family circle, O Lord. Wilt thou remember and uphold them? Wilt thou be mindful of the many mourning ones amongst us? Remember widowers, widows, orphans, those that have brought children and other dear ones to the grave. May out of that mourning, may another mourning be born, and that is a mourning because of our sins and of that missing of thee. Lord, teach us to number our days and apply our hearts unto wisdom's ways. Remember the sick, remember the afflicted. Lord, the handicapped daughter, was admitted to the hospital, then by renewal. Then thou wast wonderfully hitherto watched over her, then by renewal. Then we commend her unto thee. Oh, for her body, wilt thou remember her never-dying soul? Wilt thou remember her parents in this deep and trying way? Thou wast helped hitherto. Wilt thou continue to do so? Lord, to other fathers, they remain in the hospital. The circumstances are known unto thee. By renewal, we commend them unto thee for their bodies. And above all, wilt thou remember their never-dying souls? Ah, may these callings, may they be used to that end. Wilt thou remember their wives, the family circle, and may the means be blessed. Lord, then we commend unto thee all the sick and afflicted. We remember our Bethesda. Wilt thou remember the staff? Wilt thou continue to help them? Remember all the residents. Thou knowest that there are those that are weak. The concerns are manifold. We commend them unto thee for body and soul. May it please thee to grant healing and strengthening, and so far that it may be according to thy holy will. Wilt thou remember all the handicapped? Remember the crosses, the burdens. They are all known unto thee. And, ah, Lord, when thou granteth health and strength, when we may go in and out, wilt thou give that we may be given to pause, to consider all thy goodness, to consider what we deserve. Ah, may it then be thy goodness, because in the midst of this dark world, then thou yet grantest so many blessings, and may it be thy goodness that may lead to repentance and a need to be washed in the precious blood of thy dear Son. Lord, we now humbly ask thee, thou knowest that each time is a new time. Wilt thou grant a little instruction out of thy holy word? May we be given to scribes to bring out of the treasures of Scripture all the new things. May our eyes be upon thee. Pour out thy Holy Spirit upon us in speaking and in listening. Wilt thou then go from bench to bench, from chair to chair, from home to home, and above all, from heart to heart. Ah, Lord, may it be a service that we could never forget. Then it would be good. Ah, be then a surprise in God. Forsake and leave us not. We have heard out of thy holy word that thou wast left Nazareth. Ah, Lord, may the prayers be multiplied, that thou may remember us with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Wilt thou forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 198, the stanzas 1 through 5. O God, be thy anointed Son with truth and righteousness endowed, that justice may on earth be done, the meek protected from the proud, and what follows, 198, the first 5 stanzas.
Thank you.
in this morning hour with the help of the Lord. Then we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which can be found in Matthew 4, the verses 13 through 16, where God's word and our text reads thus: "And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtalim, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtalim, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, a Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." Our text words speak of Christ leaving Nazareth and coming to Capernaum in Galilee. With three thoughts: in the first place, the privileged place which Christ left. In the second place, the dark place where Christ went. And in the third place, the glorious light which Christ dispersed. Christ leaving Nazareth and coming to Capernaum in Galilee. The privileged place which Christ left, that was Nazareth. The dark place where Christ went, to Galilee. And the glorious light which Christ dispersed, that was the gospel. Beloved congregation, the last Lord's Day we were given to consider the words out of Luke 2, verse 49, where Christ, being 12 years old, has said to his parents, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" Then, reverently speaking, then we may say that each step which Christ has placed upon this earth, it was concerning his Father's business. And that Father's business, that pertained in the first place to the glorification of all the attributes of his Father. In the second place, that upon this earth, that he may perfectly keep the law, and that for his children. And in the third place, that he would pay the price, that he would satisfy justice, that souls may be saved. Oh, congregation of Pitcher Butte, what a riches lie in that Father's business, because in that Father's business there is proclaimed unto us and our children that for each and every one of us there is a way to be saved. In that Father's business, it may be declared that there is no sinner too vile and no sinner too black, but that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that cleanses from all sin. And now concerning that Father's business, then Christ has finished that business concerning the state of his humiliation, where he has merited salvation. But now he continues at the right hand of his Father for the performing of his Father's business in the application of what he has merited in the saving of souls. And then it is so necessary that we may place ourselves in places where it pleases the Son of God, by word and by spirit, to transact his Father's business, and that is especially in the house of God, because he has promised in Matthew 18, verse 20, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Oh, it is true. The Lord can do all things because he is great, but he transacts his Father's business under the means of grace. And now concerning that business, oh, what takes place when the Lord looks down upon a sinner? Oh, we may compare it to a business, sometime the church, that is compared as a marketplace for our never-dying souls, boys and girls. When your father and mother need something, then they go to a store with money, then they purchase, and then they come home with something. And now concerning that father's business, oh, in the moment of the Lord's good pleasure, when the Lord converts a sinner, then he opens their eyes, and then he comes with a bill, with their sins, with their heavenly eye debt, and then they are given to cry, then they are given to beg. Oh, what does a sinner do? Oh, we read in the temple concerning the Lord Jesus Christ of buying and selling. Of course, it was all wrong. But what a blessing it is. It is true concerning that Father's business. Then the church has so much to learn. But when they receive the bill of their debt, then they become active, because it all becomes true. It becomes reality that they have not debt only against their fellow man, but against a just and a good-doing God. And they learn, if that bill is not paid, if it is not canceled, if it is not blotted out, that they must eternally perish. And that is worse than death, because the Lord has a people upon the earth that cannot miss the Lord. Oh, then concerning that Father's business, then how active they become. But oh, it is the work of the Spirit to teach sinners that they cannot pay, that they must become bankrupt. Oh, are there a few souls in my midst in this day that are bankrupt, that have tried so hard to satisfy justice, and now a sinner still with a demanding justice? Oh, wished ye not that I must be in my Father's business? Ah, then it is the work of the Spirit to grant unto his people that, reverently speaking, that the Lord takes their bill, and that it is all blotted out by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, as I read in Colossians 1, verse 14. Oh, the blessing, the need, that we may experience the works concerning that Father's business. And now to come to our text, then we hear in our text, oh, that Christ is active concerning his Father's business, concerning the ingathering of the church. And now in this chapter, then we read in verse 12, and now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, John the Baptist has preached for a short while, but now Christ has risen as the Son of Righteousness. And boys and girls, you know it. When the sun comes up, then the moon, it is true, sometime during the day, on a clear day, we can still see the moon, but it does not have such a preeminence. Then the sun is given to light the earth. And so it was with John the Baptist. Oh, what a clear testimony he has given of the Son of God. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And now Christ, then we read, Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. Then in the Gospel of Matthew, then we read of the birth of Christ. We read of his baptism at the end of chapter 3. In the beginning of this chapter, we read that Christ was tempted. And now between the temptation of Christ and our text words, then much has already transpired. We read thereof in John 1 through 4, in John 1, where John the Baptist was given to point out the Lamb of God. Then some disciples, they have begun to follow Jesus. In John 2, we read of the wonder of the marriage feast which Christ has performed, that he has turned water into wine. Then Christ, he has went up to the temple, cleansed the temple. They have celebrated the Passover. And in John 3, there was a Nicodemus, a night disciple, that had many questions, that did not know it. Are there still souls like that in my midst that do not know it? Has become your concern, that you realize that we need to be converted, but that you do not know how to be converted. That is not so bad. When you may be a night disciple, and when you were lying much at the throne of grace and with an open Bible, that you may be taught, when Nicodemus, he was so ignorant in heavenly ways, and that is the experience of God's people. But then Jesus was given to point that he was the Son of God. As the serpent, he was lifted up, and that whosoever believeth on him should not perish. Then John 4, then we read the history of the woman of Samaria, how she was converted, and that she was used as an instrument, that many out of the city, that they were brought to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we read in our text, and leaving Nazareth. What a solemn word that we read in our text words. Because Jesus, he has dwelt in Nazareth for 30 years. The people understood him not. We have even heard out of Luke 2 that even his father and mother, they did not fully understand. They had but a little beginning of that knowledge concerning the Savior. But then surely in Nazareth, then they were given to see that Jesus, that he was the light, that he was the salt. He has walked perfectly. Never one wrong thought, one ill-advised word, or one sinful deed. He had a perfect life, cannot be different, that he has testified already in beginning of his Father, of the service of the Lord. And now we read, and leaving Nazareth. What a solemn time that was. For the town of Nazareth. When we read the scriptures, then it is implied that perhaps it was by steps. Because we also read of Jesus being in Nazareth of Luke 4. But then we read in the chapter, after he had already done some wonders in Capernaum, we also read of him being in Nazareth in Mark 6 and Matthew 13. And then I read in Mark 6, verse 5, and he could do no mighty work save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk, and he marveled because of their unbelief. Nazareth, what a privileged town for 30 years to have the Son of God, the promised Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, dwelling among them. Thus a privileged town. But they did not realize it. They did not see it. And then we read in that town, he healed a few, but not so many. And then Jesus has even marveled at their unbelief. Unbelief, let us always remember, congregation, that it is the greatest sin. Makes God a liar. Trust not in his attributes. Very detrimental for the child of God. Ah, the Lord has a people upon the earth for whom that sin becomes so great that they are given to weep bitter tears. Not that they can believe of themselves, no. Ah, the child of God learns more and more that it is a gift of God, so dependent upon the work of the Holy Spirit. Without me ye can do nothing, but they also learn what Paul has written to the Philippians in 4 verse 13, that he could do all things through Jesus Christ who strengtheneth me. What that must have been for Nazareth, a privileged city. And congregation, can we not compare ourselves to Nazareth? Where are there people, not so many upon the world, that are so privileged as we and our children? We may still have the truth of God's word where it may be told how the Lord converts his people also outwardly, even under the trials of life. How many good things the Lord has left in our midst. And where does it bring us? Does it bring us at his feet? Does the goodness of the Lord bring us closer to the Word of God? Or must we say that we resemble Nazareth? So many blessings. Jesus may walk amongst us in the apparel of his holy word. We may have the word of God at home. Part of the congregation may still come to church. But now the solemn words, and leaving Nazareth. Is that ever our fear, congregation? The Lord shall leave us. How can we now tell when the Lord is leaving a people? Oh, let us mention a few things. When there are not so many conversions, boys and girls do not receive new hearts. When not so many young people, I say it carefully, I say not so many. Let us not despise what the Lord gives. And when I say not so many, then it is implying that we hope that there may be some. Are you one of them, congregation? Have you now received a new heart from the Lord, boys and girls? A heart that loves the Lord and hates sin. Young people that have made that good choice. The Lord is leaving a place when the Word of God does not have such an influence and not such a power in our lives. The Lord is leaving a place when the world gets more and more the upper hand. Think of the churches of Asia Minor. Ephesus, they have left their first love. Pergamos held on to the doctrine of Balaam. Thyatira suffered Jezebel to live among them. Laodicea, they have become lukewarm. The Lord is leaving a place when the inner chambers are not filled as they ought to be, when there are not so many wrestlings, because usually the Lord leaves step by step. If we read Ezekiel 9 and 10, then we read that the Lord stood on the threshold to depart. Thus it is step by step the Lord leaves a people when they do not hearken to the messengers of the Lord. Think of the 10 tribes of Israel. Then I read in 2 Chronicles 36 verse 16 that they despised the messengers of the Lord, misused his prophets, despised his word, until the wrath of the Lord rose up against them, until there was no remedy. The Lord is leaving the people when there is a departure from the old paths and from the old truth. What a solemn word. And a leaving Nazareth. And then we could draw many lines. We could speak of our nation. How far as a nation we have departed. Former century, there was a time that in the public schools prayer was made. The Bible was opened. We shall not multiply it further out how far we have departed from God's word. We consider the church. They tell us that there were times in the history of the church when it was heard for a certain time that there was not one conversion, that the church has come together to examine and to pray. And leaving Nazareth, the family circles, boys and girls, how was it in your families? Is the Lord still dwelling amongst you in a special way? Maybe you can ask father and mother when you come home from church, that you say, father and mother, how is it now in our family? Is the Lord still in our midst? Does the Lord still grant those special tokens of his favor in his providence? Does God's word, does it have authority in all areas of life? And is the Lord still working by his Spirit? It's an important question. We consider our own hearts and leaving Nazareth for our young children, I hope. Reverend Murray McShane has written in a certain place that he believed in his time that all boys and girls had times in their lives that they had conscience convictions, that they were busy with the Lord, with their sin, with death, eternity, a jealousy for God's people. How is that with our boys and girls? But it can be. And leaving Nazareth can be, young people. Hope that is not your picture. That in this morning, that you do not have to say, I am now that Nazareth. When I think there were times in my lives that was so tender that I have even wept tears, cried unto the Lord, and now it has become so dull my conscience becoming quiet, that it seems, and leaving Nazareth. Oh, if that is the case, then may you be given to cry unto the Lord and say, Lord, do not let go of me. Do not let me go into the world. But wilt thou take me by heart and by hand? Are there souls in my midst? When we read, and leaving Nazareth, that there are souls that are sitting here full with fear, and that say, "Ach, Lord, I'm afraid that that is not me." Do you know what kind of people that is? That is a people where the Lord has begun that good work, that they may dwell in Nazareth. If they deceive not themselves, they have experienced such wonderful things in the way of God's providence. Oh, they know what a sinner they have become. They have received encouragements. Oh, sometime in God's house, as on the field of Boaz, then each time by renewal, then they were given to glean. Then what blessed Sabbath days they had. Times they were given to sing, given to believe that the Lord had begun, can even be further, that the gospel has been opened and now has become so quiet, has become so still, can come up to God's house, form and duty, but not as that heart, as I read in Psalm 42, the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. And leaving Nazareth, how distressful, there's a blessing, can also be. That they can be as that bride in the Song of Solomon, when the bridegroom is left, and that they remain on their bed. Oh, what a blessing it is when they are concerned, when they come in the need. And now concerning what is now a mark of the true, of Nazareth, when Jesus left Nazareth, then we do not read that there were boys or girls and young people and older ones that have followed Jesus and that have begged with tears, wilt thou stay a little longer? Wilt thou try it a little longer? Oh, what can be in the life of a child of God, that they are given to ask the Lord, Lord, wilt thou try it once more a little longer for such a wayward, such a carnal-hearted? Ah, they learn what liveth in their hearts, but we do not read. But now with that true work, because the Lord, of course, in the life of grace, the Lord shall never depart from his people. No. He has loved them from eternity, loves them in the time, shall love them forever. Thus, of course, in the true work of the Lord, then the Lord shall never depart, never forsake, and never leave his people. But now in the way of experience, when they do not experience his loving kindness and his special tokens and his diverse instruction, and now with that true work, because the Lord, he loves his people, then each time by renewal, then he shall bring them back on that place that they come in their guilt, That is not only necessary in beginning, but in the life of a true child of God. Then they are brought in the guilt by renewal and leaving Nazareth. Ah, then they are given to beg the Lord that he may abide with them, that he may keep them by heart and by hand, that he may show mercy. And leaving Nazareth, have we become beggars? I have read of Reverend Smaitigelt for the sermon last week, or the week before, last week I believe, that he received a call from a certain congregation and some exercises, and father and mother were given to talk about it in their home. And then boys and girls, do you know what some children have done? They have come together and they went to the minister's house and he says, "Minister, you must not leave us, but you must continue to preach the word that we may receive a new heart." And leaving Nazareth, have we ever become a Nazareth congregation? It's necessary. We learn that we are a privileged people. When the Lord works, then our past comes back. All the blessings, all the privileges, all the callings, and all the sermons that we have laid to the side, all comes back. And then in Nazareth and leaving Nazareth, oh, that is the difference. We do not read that Nazareth was troubled. In Luke 4, we even read that they have cast them out, tried to cast them off the cliff. No desire that he would dwell in their midst. And leaving Nazareth, and then he went to Galilee. That is our second thought. Let us first sing. Psalter 238. Oh, let us sing the three stanzas. Zion, founded on the mountains, God thy maker loves thee well. He has chosen thee most precious. He delights in thee to dwell. And what follows, 238, the three stanzas. Thank you. Christ leaving Nazareth and coming to Capernaum in Galilee. The privileged place which Christ left. And now secondly, the dark place where Christ went. That was to Capernaum and to the Galilee of the Gentiles. Then we do not read in our text words that in Galilee, the Galilee of the Gentiles, that they have asked Jesus to come. We do not read of that Macedonian man, come over and help us. That is now a picture of fallen mankind. Because I read in Psalm 14, the verses 2 and 3, that the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that sought good and any that were good. And then I read, there were none that understood, all have gone out of the way. And that included the Galilee of the Gentiles, and that is the picture of us and our children. And has it now become different, congregation? Have we now become a seeker of God? Have we now become a poor sinner? Have we now learned something of the Father's business, that we have received that letter home with all our guilt, that we are lost, that we are condemned worthy? Why did Christ now go to Capernaum, to the Galilee of the Gentiles? Ah, that is the sovereignty of God. Romans 9, I will show mercy upon whom I will show mercy. Because in that Galilee of the Gentiles, in Capernaum, there was a great work for the Lord to do. Is there also much work amongst us for the Lord to do? Oh, for the unconverted, that we may be converted. But where the Lord has begun, oh, what a need. What a prayers, what a supplications are sent to heaven. Oh, in the Galilee of the Gentiles in Capernaum, there were many sick. There was a leper that needed to be healed. That man that was paralyzed, carried by four, he needed to walk and to hear, that his sins were forgiven. There were many sick. What an examples do we have in the gospel of the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And many of those that were healed, they were also saved. But above all, in the Galilee of the Gentiles, there were many among young and old whose names were written in the book of life concerning that Father's business that must come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord gathers His church by word and by spirit. And to that end, we read, and leaving Nazareth, He came and dwelt in Capernaum. What a privileged and what a blessed city, but also a city that became more responsible. We ever think of those things? What a responsibility. Luke 12, verse 48, unto whom much is given, much shall be required. When Jesus has come to Capernaum, and when He has manifested His power, His miracles, when He has preached the gospel, then Capernaum was never the same. They have become more responsible. And I would please the Lord in His great mercy that He has come to Galilee of the Gentiles. And that was a people, we read in verse 16, that sat in darkness, in the shadow of death. Our text words, they are taken, repeated from Isaiah 9, the verses 1 and 2, where the prophet has already prophesied many centuries before concerning the Galilee of the Gentiles, that a great light would arise for them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. And that was now fulfilled in our text words. Who was now Galilee? Our older children, they know it in the time of Christ, in the southern part of Israel, then it was Judea. It's where Jerusalem was. In the middle of the land, we have Samaria. And in the north, we have Galilee. Does Galilee belonged formerly to the 10 tribes? The 10 tribes that have separated from Judah and Benjamin, and under King Jeroboam, he has built the golden calves in Bethel and Dan, not to replace God, but to worship the Lord through them. They have said these are the gods that have brought them out of Egypt. Thus, in those 10 tribes, they did not have the pure religion. And there came a time that the Lord has punished them with great judgments. They were taken into captivity in the year 722. The prophet Isaiah has spoken of that people, that they would be afflicted, first lesser afflicted, then greater, first by Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, and later by Tiglath-Pileser, the king of Assyria, when they were taken into captivity. And then what has happened, because we read in our text words that at Galilee, they were even called the Galilee of the Gentiles, not such a nice name, and they were looked down upon, despised by those that lived in Jerusalem and in Judea also concerning the worship of the Lord. And now when they were taken into captivity, undoubtedly some poor people were left. But do you know what has happened? Then the king of Assyria, he has taken some of his own people and placed them in that land. But then we read in the Bible that the Lord has sent lions amongst them. And even the king of Assyria felt that the Lord was speaking. So the king of Assyria has sent one of the priests that have been taken into captivity to teach that people. Thus then it was a mixture of different religions. And I read in 2 Kings 17 verse 41 that they feared the Lord and they served their graven images. As their fathers did, so did their children and children's children. What a responsibility that fathers have. Thus, their religion was a mixture of heathendom and of the religion which the Lord has taught unto the people of Israel. And now concerning the further history, because in our text words, it does not speak of Samaria, but it speaks specifically of the Galilee of the Gentiles, and especially of the tribe of Naphtali and Zebulun. In the providence of the Lord and by lot, that they have received a portion far to the north and to the west on the Mediterranean Sea. It was a rich land, but it was far away from Jerusalem. That is a great danger, to dwell far away from Jerusalem. Can be with good intentions, but a great danger to be separated from the service of the Lord. It is true, I read in the reign of King Hezekiah, when he has celebrated that great Passover with an enlarged heart, because he had a desire that all the tribes would come, he has sent messengers to those northern tribes. It is true, they have separated, but he says, people, we are one people, and a great Passover shall be celebrated, thus you must come. And then we read that indeed certain of the tribe of Zebulun, that they have come. Concerning those northern tribes, perhaps also an influence. As Solomon, when he has built a temple, he needed many cedar trees. And then in exchange for those cedar trees and for the material for the temple, then he has given King Hiram 20 cities. And later they were returned. So undoubtedly, also in the Galilee, that there was a mixture, that the customs and different things of those northern countries, Tyre and Sidon and Syria, that it had a great influence, and they were separated a great distance from Jerusalem, not so simple always, to go to the temple, and they belonged to the 10 tribes. Thus it had a great influence upon the northern part of the country. They were even called the Galilee of the Gentiles. And it was a people that dwelt in darkness and in the shadow of death. It is true. Undoubtedly those in Galilee, because they're children, I think you have read it, that when they even traveled to Jerusalem, usually they did not go through the middle part of the land, that was Samaria, because Samaria was looked down upon. There was enmity between Samaria and the rest of the country. There was even a time in Samaria that they had built another temple on Mount Gerizim, that they went around. Thus undoubtedly, Galilee of the Gentiles, although they were in much darkness and in the shadow of death, then they still prided themselves, we are at least not as bad as Samaria. Because Samaria, they are worse, they are farther gone. The Galilee of the Gentiles, a people that dwelt in darkness and in the shadow of death. And now Christ, concerning his Father's business, he has left Nazareth and he has went to that Galilee. There was work to do, much work to do. There were souls that needed to be saved. Blessed Galilee, blessed Capernaum, when Christ may come, when the gospel may be preached, when miracles may be performed, special miracles, to confirm that doctrine and for the purpose that Christ's kingdom may come and that his name may be glorified. Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death. is that thou our pitcher. To sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. What does darkness signify in the Bible? That signifies ignorance. How is it with us, with our knowledge? Have we learned how ignorant we are? Or can we still put everything nicely in order, know it exactly, how the Lord converts his people, and that is good congregation? It is very dangerous when a generation grows up that does not even know with their mind, have read of those, how the Lord converts his people. That is necessary to know, to read. But now, how is it inwardly? Have we learned that we are so ignorant? Do you know what that ignorant people like to know and to hear? They do not speak so much. They like to listen. And they like to hear how the Lord converts his people. And whether it is possible, all that can give courage when they may hear it. Because that people that sit in darkness, sometimes they simply have to ask, Lord, wilt thou now convert me as thou hast converted all thy people? Lord, is it now still possible? Because that people learn the Galilee of the Gentiles. Oh, then they learn by the uncovering light of the Holy Spirit that they are no better. No. Oh, when they are uncovered further, they learn that they are even worse than Samaria and the world. Because the world was not like Capernaum and like Nazareth, where in Capernaum those miracles were performed and where that word was preached. Thus darkness in the Bible, that signifies ignorance, that signifies error, that points to unbelief. Oh, the Lord has a people that learn what unbelieving creatures they are. They are given to examine themselves, really what they believe when they sit in church. Is that ever your question, congregation? What do I really believe? Do I believe that there is that almighty, majestic God in heaven who has created everything and has everything in his hands? Do I believe that every blessing, every breath, do we believe that the Lord is righteous? Do we believe that the Lord is merciful? Do we believe by nature that we are like that Galilee of the Gentiles without God, without Christ, without hope in the world? Do we believe that we must die? Do we really believe that, congregation? Has that now become reality? We read of the Galilee of the Gentiles dwelt in darkness, the shadow of death. We must close. Perhaps the Lord willing, another time we can continue. Leaving Nazareth, we have stated it already. What a solemn happening. There are places where the Lord has formerly richly dwelt. And where he has left, and today it seems, think of the churches of Asia Minor. We do not know. We do not know everything. But the Lord has departed. How necessary to pray, Lord, may we not be that Nazareth, but wilt thou dwell amongst us. Andrew Gray, a Scottish minister that has died in 1656, in his 22nd year, only a minister a few years. He was young, but he was old in grace. Then in a certain sermon, he has stated that there would come a time in Glasgow, a city in Scotland, that there would be six silent things. And then he has mentioned in the first place a silent word, that it would be preached, and that it would have so little effect. That means that people, they would go home from church. We would say the same cannot be. But that it would not work anything out. Then in the second place, a silent law. That the law would still be proclaimed, but that there would be people in that city, many, that would not hearken to that law, put their own thoughts, feelings, instead of the law. Then Andrew Gray has said in that city there would come a time, silent blessings, that the Lord would grant many blessings, but that the goodness of the Lord would not have an effect and lead to true repentance. Then Andrew Gray has spoken of silent rods, that means afflictions, and trials which the Lord would send, but they would not work out true conversions and further leadings and the life of his people. Then fifthly, then that young minister has spoken of a time of a silent conscience, that a conscience would not speak so much. And then in the sixth place, that there would come a time, he has spoken of a silent God, leaving Nazareth. But now he has come to Galilee of the Gentiles. What a blessing and what a privilege. Capernaum was a city that was so blessed. Jesus has dwelt in the midst of them to perform his Father's business. He has glorified his Father. Many were healed. Many were converted. Then how necessary it was for Capernaum, and that is also a necessary prayer for us as a people, those travelers to Emmaus in Luke 24, verse 49. Then they have said unto Jesus, where Jesus has done as if he would continue. But then those travelers of Emmaus, they had such a burning heart. When Christ has opened unto them the scriptures, that is a blessing. One may take place in God's house, can be, when it is good, that there can even be a prayer, a silent prayer sent up, that the service may last a little longer. Those are not the worst times in the life of souls. But now to be given to pray with the men of Emmaus, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. Amen. Let us close. Lord, then we have heard out of thy holy word that thou wast left that privileged Nazareth. And then we humbly beg of thee, O leave and forsake us not. But may we be as the Capernaum, where thou hast done so many miracles, where thou hast transacted the Father's business, and were many souls among young and old were saved. Ah, Lord, wilt thou then work mightily and lovingly with thy Spirit in the latter days of the earth? May thy name be glorified. May the prayers be multiplied to that end. Wilt thou so remember the family circles, remember from the youngest to the oldest. Then we commend unto thee the young couple who were united in holy matrimony in the past week. They have begun life's journey together as husband and wife, and it may be the first Lord's Day in their married life. Ah, may it be an unforgettable day, and may it be their prayer that they shall not be as in Nazareth, where thou shalt leave them unto themselves, and may they be given to beg as a couple that dwell in darkness and in the shadow of death, that thou may be a light unto them, that thou may work lovingly and irresistibly by thy Holy Spirit, that thou may help them in all their ways, Lord. Wilt thou watch over us in the furtherance of the Sabbath day? Bring us under the means of grace by renewal in this afternoon hour. Forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter of 427, the stanzas 6 and 7. This is the day of full salvation, that God has made and sanctified. Come, let us voice our jubilation and triumph in the grace applied and what follows. The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing, that the catechism classes will resume tomorrow evening at 7:15 p.m. And to that end, the confession of faith class will begin at 8:30. Psalter 427, the stanzas 6 and 7. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.